Does it still make sense for the Baltimore Ravens to sign DeAndre Hopkins even after adding Odell Beckham Jr. and Zay Flowers? We talk about that and so much more coming up next here on this episode of Locked On Ravens.
You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into another edition of Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire, and we're here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you so much for being here with us today, making us your first listen each and every day. We're free and available all podcasting platforms, including over in video form on YouTube. You can subscribe for free, both in video form and in audio form. In today's episode of Locked On Ravens is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the NFL. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon today to get started. And again, if you're an everydayer on the show, you listen every single day, or if it's your first time in, or if you're somewhere in between, welcome in here to the show. And we're coming back here another week of Baltimore Ravens content. Again, in that lull period of the offseason, OTAs, they started last week, and we'll have more coverage of that and what the Ravens players and coaches have to say. But there's been some interesting conversation about a player we've talked about a lot on this show. And no, it's not Lamar Jackson. Well, I guess it has something to do with Lamar. But DeAndre Hopkins, we now have a resolution to that. Not a full one, but at least we now know what the next step is for the Cardinals and DeAndre Hopkins. That was a release. The Cardinals and DeAndre Hopkins move on from each other. The Cardinals eat, I believe, around a $22 million cap hit. So that'll be that. The Cardinals move on from a star, top 10 receiver still, in my opinion. He's now a free agent. And we're going to talk about if it still makes sense for Baltimore to go after him, even after already adding Odell Beckham Jr. and Zay Flowers. So we'll talk about DeAndre Hopkins a bit as a player a bit in the first segment, then get into where his fit would be on the Ravens with all those guys I mentioned, plus more, and the guys returning in the second segment. Then finally, in the third segment, we'll take a look, just a whole look, at the Ravens wide receiver room without Hopkins. So we'll talk Odell, we'll talk Rashad Bateman, we'll talk Zay Flowers, and where that room currently stands at the moment, especially with what the Ravens seemingly want to do on offense here. So plenty to dive into on Locked On Ravens. Let's get into DeAndre Hopkins. Now, a little background on DeAndre Hopkins. First of all, he is someone that is going to turn 31 right at the beginning of June. June 6th is his birthday, so he'll be turning 31 then. He's a player that I think is such a good player still, an extreme talent. I know a lot of people are scared off by the age. People say injuries. DeAndre Hopkins is not like a very injury-prone player. Now, over the past couple of years in Arizona, has only played in 10 and 9 games respectively. But with that, he did have the 6-game suspension to start off the 2022 season. That wasn't an injury. I know 2021, a little bit of a different story. But outside of 2022, which again, was not injury, those 6 games, he hasn't missed more than 2 games over the course of his career in that. 2013 to 2020, he ended up playing 16 games, 16 games, 16 games, 16 games, 15 games, 16 games, 15 games, 16 games. So he's been in that stratosphere. Now, again, age is a thing, but I talked with Alex Clancy, who's the host of Locked On Cardinals here on our network, and he said, you know, this is not the Julio Jones situation. Or Julio Jones, again, at his peak, I think Julio Jones was better than DeAndre Hopkins was at his peak. But this is not a situation with all the injuries that Julio Jones had, the hamstrings, the lower body issues that he had. DeAndre Hopkins is not there. DeAndre Hopkins is still such a serviceable player, and whoever gets him, whether it's the Ravens or another team. I know, you know, Kansas City's been rumored. Buffalo's been rumored. Even Cleveland's been rumored now with the Deshaun Watson connection. Any team that picks him up, and a team will pick him up, they're going to be getting incredible value, even though I think DeAndre Hopkins is looking for a deal. It's not just going to be, oh, I'm going to, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is just going to mosey into a 1-year, $6 million deal, or 2-year, $10 million. That's not going to happen. He's going to get some type of big money deal. And again, it might not be a 4-year, $60 million deal, but I wouldn't be shocked if he gets more than $10 million average annual value. Wouldn't shock me at all. In fact, I'd be very, very much inclined to say that he deserves that type of deal. especially with the player that he is stats-wise. Hopkins, over the course of his 10-year career, has hauled in 853 catches, 11,298 yards, that's 13.2 yards per reception, 71 touchdowns. So it's got 62.4% of the balls thrown to him. And is someone that I just think would make any team better. He fits in any offense. It's not necessarily does he need to fit in a specific scheme? If he goes to Baltimore, if he goes anywhere, he's making that offense better. He doesn't need to be a number one, but he can be a number one. You know, he has, I guess, that versatility, I guess is the word, of being the star wide receiver of an offense, or he can play second fiddle and be a very good one at that. And, you know, for DeAndre Hopkins, someone who I think would make a wonderful second fiddle on a couple. I mean, look, Buffalo with Stephon Diggs and DeAndre Hopkins, that's an incredible duo. I think you could make an argument that either one of those guys could be the number one, but you have a number two of either Stephon Diggs or DeAndre Hopkins, depending on how you look at that situation. I mean, that's a heck of a receiving group for Buffalo. I mean, I know their group isn't great outside of Stephon Diggs, but makes it a whole lot better. So for Hopkins, he's a player that is strong at the catch point. I mean, that catch against Buffalo we had a couple years ago where Kyler Murray just threw it up there. Hopkins goes up against three or four Buffalo defenders, hauls it in for the game. It's just the type of player that he is. I mean, he's someone that will play to his size, very physical at the catch point, a very physical receiver overall, a talented route runner. Isn't necessarily a burner, you know, not going to necessarily wow you with speed. But if you're talking Ravens, you don't necessarily need that at this point. And for Hopkins, again, he fits in any type of offense. So despite the fact that he's turning 31, despite the fact that he's only played in 10 and 9 games, respectively, over the course of 2 years here, I don't see an area where a team would look at DeAndre Hopkins and be like, no. I mean, I guess contract-wise, but again, that was the biggest hurdle, where DeAndre Hopkins was going to get traded. I think he had, a $19 million base salary. At that cost, you know, a team like the Ravens, who again does have cap space to work with and does have restructures, we'll talk a bit about that in the second segment, but a team like that, even though they've added Odell, even though they've added Zay Flowers, I don't know. I mean, do you look at DeAndre Hopkins and go, that guy wouldn't make us better? I think he makes every single team in this league better, whether you have three star wide receivers or none. You add DeAndre Hopkins in that mix and it makes it better. So to me, I think also for Hopkins, there were a bunch of rumors that came out about the fact that Odell's deal with the Ravens actually kind of messed some teams up in terms of their pursuit. The Chiefs and the Bills in that conversation, where there was going to be a trade for DeAndre Hopkins. I think it was the Chiefs, but there was going to be a trade. And then Odell got that deal of $50 million guaranteed. And that messed everything up, because I think DeAndre has almost, it's a weird comparison. I know this is kind of a weird comparison, but the Za'Darius Smith situation or saga, whatever you want to call it, with Baltimore the second time around, where he I think denies this, but where he apparently agreed to a deal and then backed out and then agreed to a deal, and then backed out, then agreed to a deal and backed out. I don't think this was to that magnitude, but I think what happened with Za'Darius Smith was he saw that Von Miller got a huge deal after he signed. He saw that Chandler Jones got a huge deal after he signed. And he said, ooh, this deal with the Ravens, I don't really know. So now for DeAndre Hopkins, I think it could have been Odell got that deal. And I think, again, he's willing to take a deal that isn't what his last deal was with Arizona. I'm not saying he's going to be super unreasonable and say, yeah, I want $20 million per season or I'm not signing with you. I really don't think that's the case. But the fact that that came out is a little interesting to say, well, what's the money? What's the price range that DeAndre Hopkins is ultimately going to demand here? And for Arizona, I mean, I just think it's where, you know, people are kind of saying, well, why would they cut him? If he's so good, why would they release him? It's just a timeline thing. I mean, for DeAndre Hopkins, again, all these teams have timelines. Honestly, I think Baltimore's timeline is one where you can play for now, you can play for the future, because Lamar is with the Ravens for the next 5 years here. And he's a player that I don't think is going to slow down in the next 5 years. I mean, maybe towards the end of the contract, I don't know what it's going to be. But I wouldn't bet on him necessarily just all of a sudden being a terrible quarterback in the next 5 seasons. So you can play for the now with an Odell and some of those older guys on the roster a little bit. And then you can also play for the future here. So look, DeAndre Hopkins turning 31, if you're the Ravens, well, you can make an argument to say, well, you know, you have Odell and you have DeAndre Hopkins. And then, you know, those guys go out and then the young guys filter in. And hopefully Bateman and Flowers will be ready for that moment. But at the same time, it's a player where all of a sudden, if you use all your cap space on him, Do you have enough to use that other remaining space on other positions of need? A cornerback is something I've been talking about forever on this show, even after Rock Ya-Sin got signed. And then edge rusher, what's that position going to look like? So coming up in the second segment, are we moving away from DeAndre Hopkins a bit as a player? We'll still talk about it, but get more into the Ravens aspect of things and talk about if it still makes sense for them, even after adding Odell and adding Zay Flowers. So be sure to stay tuned. A lot to dive into on Locked On Ravens. But first, this episode is brought to you by FanDuel. And make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs, because right now new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's $2,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. And for those NBA finals, my Denver Nuggets, they're in it, but they don't know who they're playing yet. But we will find that out at the end of tonight if you're listening on Monday, as the Celtics and Heat will be battling it out in Game 7. And if you want to bet on Miami, bet on Boston, do it over on FanDuel. They have great promotions every day. They have a safe and secure app, and you can get paid instantly. There's no better place to bet all the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn to get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. We return here. It's our second segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still here with you on this Monday. Thank you again for tuning in with us, making us your first listen each and every day on the show. But let's continue talking DeAndre Hopkins again. The reason we're talking about it, and again, these episodes, the DeAndre Hopkins episodes, when we talked about him earlier in the offseason, a lot of people liked him. So hopefully that trend continues here. And a lot of people are still excited at the possibility of adding DeAndre Hopkins. But I will say, I will admit, I think the possibility has gone way down since the Ravens did add Odell and did add Zay Flowers. But that still raises the question, does it still make sense for the Ravens to actually go out there and get him? Because, look, I think the Ravens are in the business of getting better as a football team. And DeAndre Hopkins would make them better as a football team, as I talked about in the first part of the show. And regardless of where a guy plays, if he's a good football player, if he's a star at his position, and you can get him on a deal where it doesn't necessarily impact your ability to make other moves, I think in this case maybe it would, depending on what the deal is that DeAndre Hopkins wants, where he wants to go, etc. But look, we just heard DeAndre Hopkins talk about what he's looking for in his future organization. Talked about Lamar, saying it'd be an honor to play with Lamar. He's been following him since the Louisville days and watching him against Clemson, which is DeAndre Hopkins' alma mater. We've heard the endorsement DeAndre Hopkins gave Lamar. And one day playing with him, as DeAndre Hopkins says, maybe that's not too far away. So it's crazy to think about, because when you're talking about what the Ravens wide receiver room has been over the course of their franchise history, has not been a strong suit for the most part. When you think of star Ravens wide receivers, it's guys who haven't necessarily been the homegrown talents. Derek Mason was not a homegrown talent. He was great for them. Steve Smith Sr., a homegrown talent for the Carolina Panthers, not for the Baltimore Ravens, but he comes over to Baltimore, is great for him. And of course, we cannot forget about Anquan Boldin, the man himself, who was an Arizona Cardinals wide receiver. Look, the last time the Ravens brought in an Arizona Cardinals wide receiver like this, of this stature, and again, I think DeAndre Hopkins right now is better than Anquan Boldin was. That's not a slight at Anquan Boldin. Anquan Boldin was incredible for them. And I that acquisition was perfect for what that team needed. And I honestly won him a Super Bowl with how he performed over the course of his time there. I love Anquan Boldin. DeAndre Hopkins is just insane, though. Like, he is an insane football player. Has not looked like he's slowed down. Again, injuries can happen as players get older, right? I get that. I understand that. Hopkins had the 6-game suspension. But the way Boldin played for this team and the way Hopkins could play for the Ravens, I just look at it and I say, man, you have a receiver room now, and we'll get into, just an overview of the Ravens wide receiver room in the final segment, but just looking at it with Hopkins, let's just say they do, it'd be Odell, it'd be DeAndre Hopkins, it'd be Rashad Bateman, it'd be Zay Flowers and Devin Duvernay and Nelson Aguilar and a guy like maybe a James Prochet, Tylan Wallace, Dante Demas. They would be loaded there. And again, going back to what the Ravens receiver room has been over the course of their franchise history, this is one of the best wide receiver rooms already that the Ravens have had. It's by far the best Lamar Jackson has had, and the Lamar Jackson era for the Ravens is the best room they've had by far. Adding DeAndre Hopkins would not only make it the best receiver room Lamar Jackson has ever had by an even wider margin, it made the Ravens wide receiver room, I think, one of the best, if not the best, in the NFL. I mean, even rivaling teams like Cincinnati, who have Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and a Tyler Boyd. Is it on that level? It'd be up for debate 100%. I think a lot of people would have a lot of different opinions on that. But the way Hopkins is playing, and again, there are question marks all around, right? Can Odell stay healthy? What does he look like? Rashad Bateman, we'll get into those questions a bit more in the final part of the show. but does it still make sense for the Ravens to add him? There's another question that I think you have to ask here. And on Twitter, I was asked, Sammy asked me this question. So shout out to you, Sammy. Sammy asked me this question and said, would you rather have D-Hop or an edge in Marcus Peters? And I had to think about it a little bit. You know, when I saw it, I had to think about it. And it's a tough decision. I mean, again, talent-wise, DeAndre Hopkins is the better talent. You know, if you combine, let's just say it's Justin Houston and Marcus Peters, right? You combine those two players, the talent level to me still goes to DeAndre Hopkins. But where's the need? The need is obviously at corner and edge. So do you take the more talented of the bunch and put him in a position where it's a luxury? It would be a luxury to have DeAndre Hopkins. Or would you go with the need-based and say, hey, you know what? We're going to bring in another cornerback and we're going to bring in another edge rusher if you're the Ravens. Is that what you're telling yourself if you're the Ravens to say, do we want to go talent, big wide receiver, but a luxury, or do we want to go corner edge, but it fills an immediate need? It was tough. I honestly said DeAndre Hopkins just because, again, a talent like this, and again, it depends on the deals, right? If DeAndre Hopkins goes out there and demands 2 years, $25 million, the Ravens right now, you know, if we look at salary cap space, according to Over the Cap, have right about $11.7 million. Now, this is actually before they restructure anyone. So they could still restructure a guy like Marlon Humphrey, Mark Andrews, Roquan Smith, Ronnie Stanley. They still have those options. So if they really wanted to, and DeAndre Hopkins is saying, give me 12 and a half per season, with the Ravens having $11 million in cap space. Now, we do know the Ravens also like to save a little bit of cap space for the season. So they don't like to go into the cap or go into the regular season with no cap space whatsoever, because they want to have room to maybe sign a guy who gets cut and is unexpected, or maybe make a trade. We've seen the Ravens obviously be active on the trade market. So if Hopkins demands a deal where the Ravens say, oof, you know what, that's going to be a little too out of our price range because we want to have that cap space, maybe they don't make the deal. But again, if I'm the Ravens, and they are in this business because they've shown it, they're in the business of adding talented football players that can help them win. I mean, look, Roquan Smith was a player. They had Patrick Queen, and they need to add a Roquan Smith to that defense. It wasn't necessarily a need, especially with the way Queen was starting to play that season. Why did they add him? Because he's a good player. And I'm not saying it wasn't a need. I'm not saying inside linebacker was a zero need. They did need somebody else. But did they have to go out there and get one of the best linebackers in the NFL? You know, probably not, but they did it anyway, because I think it was still a great move for him. And it helped Patrick Queen. It helped the defense out. So for DeAndre Hopkins, you look at those top four, if it would be Odell, DeAndre Hopkins, Rashad Bateman, Zay Flowers. I'm not saying that they can't win a Super Bowl if they don't sign DeAndre Hopkins. They can still make that move, and they can be super contenders, or they don't make the move, and they can still be contenders. But to me, those top four, I mean, first of all, a lot of people do say, you know, where are you feeding all those mouths? There are too many mouths to feed. I think, first of all, I think it's a good problem to have. And for people who are saying, well, you know, you're going to upset Rashad Bateman, you have him as the number one for last year, you're bringing these two guys, where are his targets? He should be someone that I think would, honestly, he would embrace that. Because again, I don't think this is a long-term thing for Bateman. What I will say in terms of the Bateman thing is it's an interesting conversation to have, because I go back and I look at J.K. Dobbins and how it's turned out for him. Injury in 2021 toward the ACL. Hasn't necessarily had a chance to showcase his full potential. The Ravens have him in a committee with Gus Edwards. I think as a bell cow guy, he could do some damage. Now, the NFL's moving away from bell cows. I know this is kind of a tangent, but it's relevant. It is relevant. So with J.K. Dobbins, I think, look, he's been somewhat unhappy with the amount of carries he's been receiving. He believes he should be the guy for them. I tend to agree. He's a very talented running back. I'm not saying Gus Edwards shouldn't be the guy for them, like, or shouldn't be a guy for them. They shouldn't not be splitting. I think they should be. But I think that Dobbins deserves more opportunities. Now, for Rashad Bateman, does he feel that way with a second contract, a fifth-year option decision coming up soon? Does he feel like, you know, if Odell and DeAndre Hopkins are overshadowing him, is that going to, you know, second contract-wise, how's that going to impact? And I'm not saying that's how he's feeling. I'm just raising the question of would that be. I don't think Rashad Bateman is that type of guy. I think he'd be, you know, willing to learn under an Odell and DeAndre Hopkins, even if it's just for 1 year, even if that's literally what it is. But at the same time, is there going to be any, oh, well, you know, I want these targets. I don't think Rashad Bateman is that guy. But regardless, does it still make sense for the Ravens to add DeAndre Hopkins even after adding Odell and Zay Flowers? I mean, look, I still think it does. Do I think they will? Probably not. It's more likely to me he probably goes to Kansas City, Buffalo, Cleveland, etc. but it'd be pretty cool. I mean, it really would be. Again, if the Ravens hadn't signed Odell, even if they still drafted Zay Flowers, if they hadn't signed Odell, I think it'd be a no-brainer. You absolutely make that move. You replace what the Odell signing was with DeAndre Hopkins, and boom. You know, honestly, you know, this might be a hot take. I think DeAndre Hopkins could be a hot take for some, not for others. DeAndre Hopkins, I think, is right now a better player than Odell, and that's not a slight at Odell. I promise you it's not that. I still think Odell is going to show people this year and be really good for him, but I think DeAndre Hopkins is just a different beast, especially with the way he's performed over the course of his entire career here, and someone who can still go up, get that football, and would be a huge asset. And look, we know Lamar requested, again, did not demand, he requested and asked, you know, hey, could you maybe do this? Could you go out there, get Odell and DeAndre Hopkins? Now they have the opportunity. So I think it still does make sense for him. It does come down to the money, though. Comes down to fit and how they view their wide receiver room. If they like their guys enough, I don't think they add him. But if they feel like DeAndre Hopkins can make them a better football team, spoiler alert, he would. But if they feel that way, then I think they'll at least kick the tires, because they were one of the teams that were reportedly interested in trading for him before the draft. So again, how much does Zay Flowers pick influence things? I'm not necessarily sure, but it's a very interesting conversation to have, absolutely. But coming up in the final part of the show, we'll be diving into the Ravens wide receivers currently on the roster, so non-DeAndre Hopkins talk as a whole, just where the state of that room is at the moment, so be sure to stay tuned. A lot to get to still on Locked On Ravens. We are back rounding out Locked On Ravens Monday style. Kevin Ostreicher still here with you. Thank you again for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube, follow along in audio form as well. It's free. You can subscribe for free both in video form and in audio form. Big week for me here. My 1,000th episode consecutively will be this Friday. So it's crazy to think about. Again, did this back in 2019. And I always segue from that, because that 2019 wide receiver room, I don't think you can't hold a candle to it when you're talking about the 2023 current wide receiver room. Because you look, you know, that room had Marquise Brown. Marquise Brown was the guy then. Miles Boykin also, two rookies. I mean, Seth Roberts, Willie Snead. It wasn't necessarily a very talented room. I mean, I'm not going to say, you know, Marquise Brown had great moments as a rookie, and obviously I think has turned himself into an extremely legit wide receiver, and obviously did a lot in Arizona while DeAndre Hopkins was out. But the 2023 Ravens room right now, Odell, Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, Devin Duvernay, Nelson Aguilar, who's the sixth guys? Dante Demas, is James Prochet, Tylan Wallace. They have a lot of names there. And it's honestly a deep room, because a lot of people are saying, well, why do you need to add all these guys? Why would you sign Odell after Nelson Aguilar? I can tell you, because Nelson Aguilar should not have been the only signing. The move looks a lot better now because Odell is in the building. If the Ravens had not signed Odell and just signed Nelson Aguilar, that signing would not have looked as good. And it did not look great when they made it, but it looks better now. Regardless, Odell's coming in there. He's the number one guy. Now he has to perform like that. You know, the $15 million guaranteed is a risk. Obviously, the void years that the Ravens put out there, it's also a risk if it doesn't work out and it's a one-year thing. The dead money goes on the 2024 cap. But, you know, the Ravens are trusting in the process and the fact that Odell had the year to recover from the ACL injury he suffered in the Super Bowl a couple years ago with the Rams, and he's able to go out there and perform. Now, I think for the Ravens, what they're getting in him, a savvy route runner, a hard worker, and someone who's he has a chip on his shoulder in terms of proving, you know, a lot of people call him washed. He's going to get injured again. You know, isn't the same player. I think he hears it and I think is motivated by it. Now, has to stay healthy for a full 17 game season. Do I think that happens? I don't think it's necessarily likely. I think he probably misses a game or two here or there. If he has a multi-week injury, wouldn't necessarily shock me. But the way the Ravens have built the rest of the room, it at least gives me confidence they can withstand something like that. We knew going into last year with the way that they constructed that room, trusting Rashad Bateman as the number one guy, Devin Duvernay is the number two guy, essentially trusting their young guys there while bringing in DeMarcus Robinson. We knew that if Rashad Bateman went down, it was over. And if Devin Duvernay went down, it was even more over. And what happened? Both of them went down, and they were relying on second stint of Sammy Watkins, a 36-year-old DeSean Jackson, DeMarcus Robinson, who wasn't necessarily bad. DeMarcus Robinson gave him good snaps last year, but you don't want him as your number one. You want him as like your number four at like best wide receiver. And then just other like Prochet and Wallace and all those other guys, right? They had no wide receiver room once those guys went down, and Bateman got hurt in the middle of the year. And then DuVernay went down and practice injury, and then they were just cooked from there. That room was cooked. Now, if Beckham goes down, you have Bateman, you have Flowers, and then the other guys too, like Devin DuVernay and Nelson Agholor. Just those five. You know, I say the Ravens keep six wide receivers. That's just the sweet spot number for me. I could see them keep five. I could see them keep seven. But to me, then that sixth wide receiver spot could be Dante Demas, could be James Prochet, could be Tylan Wallace. If Beckham has to miss some time, if Bateman has to miss some time, you can slide Devin DuVernay up. I don't know what the whole conversation point surrounding Devin DuVernay this offseason has been. I don't know the word. I really don't. I think he gave them really good snaps last year. I thought he grew, but it's been a weird conversation surrounding DuVernay because people want him traded. I think it's because of the cap hit he has, because he's hit multiple incentives. So his actual cap hit for a player that was drafted in 2020 in the third round is a lot higher than others because he's hit, you know, Pro Bowl incentives, etc., because of his special teams ability. And he's that too. I mean, he's one of the best special teamers in the league, one of the best returners in the league. So maybe that's it. I know some people are kind of upset with the cap hit for DuVernay, but I think he was great. And as a number four wide receiver, like, sign me up for that. I would be fine with him as a number three wide receiver, but obviously Zay Flowers is going to fill that role at the beginning. He's a heck of a guy to have as your number three, a super savvy route runner, and I think could be the best wide receiver in this draft class. Now, I know Jackson Smith and Jigba is also in that running. I also really like Jordan Addison. I was higher than most on Quentin Johnston. I actually kind of like Quentin Johnston, but I think Zay Flowers was a great pick for him. And I know a lot of people, I mean, maybe they should have taken a corner. We'll see in a couple years. You can't really judge the picks until a couple years down the line. But I think Zay Flowers is a number three option behind Beckham and Bateman is a really solid thing to have, especially for Lamar in this offense. I mean, that's a huge part of this too. Or a Todd Monken coming in, Greg Roman obviously out. They're going to throw this football a lot more. Todd Monken has said it. Lamar Jackson has said it. John Harbaugh has said it. Like, it is very widely known that the Ravens are going to throw this football more. It is the right decision. You know, Lamar Jackson saying he's getting handed the keys of the offense. That is also the right decision. But to have all those guys, plus Mark Andrews, plus Isaiah Likely, plus J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards is your running backs. This offense is super high powered. And with the wide receiver room, people have been clamoring. A lot of people clamoring for the Ravens to just get Lamar some guys in that room, get Lamar some weapons in that room. And not that Bateman isn't one, not that DuVernay isn't one, just but get more guys. You know, you can never have enough guys with Beckham coming in, with Flowers coming in. We can talk DeAndre Hopkins for a second. Even if you don't add DeAndre Hopkins to that room, I feel a lot more confident than I ever have in a Lamar Jackson wide receiver room this year before the year starts. Again, it's a lot of health questions with Bateman's injury history, with Beckham's injury history. How are they going to be able to respond? Can they hold up for a full 17-game season? But regardless, I still feel so much more confident than I ever have in a Lamar Jackson wide receiver room, and that's not even counting Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely and those guys. So this is what a lot of people have been waiting for, and for Lamar to get more of an opportunity to throw the ball, to run the offense a little bit more, and just, you know, either air the ball out deep, throw it in the middle of the field, throw it to the sideline. He's a lot better of a thrower than some people give him credit for. Is he perfect? No. No one's perfect. Again, has to work on the deep ball accuracy a little bit. We saw that fall off a little bit. Now, had that one incredible shot to DeSean Jackson in that Jacksonville game, the, what, like 70 yards or something, which was one of the most beautiful throws I've ever seen him throw. But then you go to the Cincinnati game where he misses two wide open touchdowns on deep shots in a span of three plays. So you want more consistency there. But I think with more opportunities and more confidence, it just didn't feel like Lamar felt fully confident that I guess Greg Roman had his back, or that Greg Roman trusted him in those situations. I think with Todd Monken very early establishing that, he definitely has established that very early. But Todd Monken establishing that, I think that will give Lamar more confidence as a thrower. And it's those little subtle things too, like just knowing you have a guy in Odell Beckham who has been there, who is a Super Bowl champion, and who believes he was on his way. And honestly, I don't necessarily see an argument where it's wrong, but being on his way to winning the Super Bowl MVP trophy before getting injured, he's had a year to recover. Having a guy like that, and that guy, having a guy like Rashad Bateman, who they've already had established connection, you know, a guy like Zay Flowers, who South Florida, you know, you have a guy from there. The Ravens are the South Florida Ravens in a way, but, you know, having a guy like that who can run routes and work in the slot. You can also play him outside, but he can work at three levels. Then having the other depth like a Devin DuVernay and Nelson Agholor, it makes a lot of things better. And plus, we all know how Lamar and Mark Andrews are, but Mark Andrews is listed as a tight end. He's going to catch a lot of footballs for him. Would not be shocked if he leads a team in receptions again. But that's just who Mark Andrews is. So to me, I feel so much more confident in this wide receiver room than I ever have under, or I guess with Lamar Jackson is the quarterback of this team. I'm happy for Lamar because he has weapons at the wide receiver position now, or at least a more consistent wide receiver bunch around him. And if they had DeAndre Hopkins, it's even more consistent. It's even better. So I think Baltimore's wide receiver room is in a good spot, and in a good spot, if a guy goes down, they have enough depth to at least sustain that. Now, if three or four guys go down, it's a bit of a different story, but hopefully the injury bug doesn't plague them. We will see what happens. A lot of interesting wide receiver talk here for the Ravens. That's all I have here today on Locked On Ravens. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We're going to get back here tomorrow. More Ravens content from us, so be sure to stay tuned for that. I'll see you right back here.